Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Meisterpiece. I am your host, Susie Meister. Today's guest is Steve Carbone, a.k.a. Reality Steve from RealitySteve.com. And today we're going to get the scoop on all things reality, why spoilers might be spoiling Steve's fun, and the new season of The Bachelor. Welcome, Reality Steve. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Susie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I just want to get the background. You know, how did you become a guy with reality in front of your name? What's the scoop?
You know, it started a long time. It started all the way back in 2003 with one of the first shock reality shows out there, which was Joe Millionaire.
Okay.
I remember seeing the commercial for it and thinking, like, you know, back in 2003, that was like a crazy concept.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, and we've seen so much crazier stuff than that. But back then, you know, they were basically playing a practical joke on 20 women. And I was like, I got to tune into this.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I was just amazed. So what I did was I just did like a little, I didn't even take notes. I just mentally watched the show. Mm-hmm. And then I sent an email to like three of my friends the next day. And then I just, with all my thoughts, and then I just kept doing it every week for that show. And then right after that, the next like dating type reality show that was on a network was Trista's season of The Bachelorette, the first Bachelorette they ever had.
Okay.
And I hadn't watched the first two Bachelors. So I just said, you know what, this is another dating show. I like writing this. People seem to like it. and I started doing that, and I started getting more people. The three people that I had sent emails out to were forwarding it on to other people who were forwarding it on to others.
So people wanted in on the dialogue.
Yeah, and then I started getting emails from people saying, hey, I didn't get your, you know, Bachelorette recap. I'm like, well, who are you?
You?
I don't even know who you are.
Okay.
And then I just basically just kept going. I just went, and it just became like, I did
thing.
It for fun. Like from 03 to 09, I knew the show was pre-taped, but back in those days with no social media,
yeah,
there weren't really many spoilers out there, and I didn't really know to look for them. The internet wasn't really that big back then, and I just wrote a recap. I watched the show, took notes, and made fun of it. And and then I did it for 6 years. I think like for 2 years I did it on email, and then I just said, you know what? Too many people are emailing me saying I didn't get your recap. So I just decided to put it on. I decided to start RealitySteve.com. I think we launched that in 05. And then I put all my past columns up there. Even had, I know for a fact, I'd have to go back in the archives, but I know for a fact I even covered a couple challenges and a couple real world seasons on there as well.
Wow.
And I just was enjoying writing about reality TV. And then in 09 is when it kind of blew up.
Well, here's the thing about you. I mean, I guess you're a polarizing figure because there is some scandal connected to you, but I mean, you are beloved. When I tell people that I was going to be talking to you, I mean, I talk about emails. I got emails with lists of questions for you. People adore you, Steve.
Oh, wow.
You've become like a cult figure.
That's great, especially if it's coming from people from like your, you know, real world, Road Rules Challenge world. I mean, I didn't, you know, I don't know if, you know, those readers even follow me. I mean, I'm sure, you know, people that like reality TV usually like,
yes,
most shows across the board. But
and like, what do you think that it is about your writing that makes people so lively?
I think one of the things is, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. There's a lot of people now, because The Bachelor has gained popularity in the last probably 2 or 3 years. Everybody's got a blog about The Bachelor. Everybody wants to throw their 2 cents in on the show. But I've been doing this for 9 years,
right,
and I haven't missed an episode in 9 years. I've covered 23 of the 25 seasons.
That makes me almost sad.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's really weird because for the longest time, I did it. I just did it for fun. I never did it thinking it would turn into what it is.
Yeah.
The one reason I did keep writing and the one thing that kept me going was I always wanted. I thought I was a good writer. I thought I made people laugh. And I always thought that, hey, if this ends up in the right person's hands or someone sees this, someone,
yeah,
might come to me with, you know, maybe do some independent contract work or whatever.
Yeah.
And And then I got to a point where once the site started taking off, I was like, I don't want to write for anyone else because I'm going to have restrictions. I'm going to have word counts. On my blog, it's my site. I can write whatever I want, and I can say whatever I want, and I don't have to worry about an editor. I'm my own boss, and that's what I enjoy most about it.
Well, so did you expect that what you did have to worry about was the actual show, sort of getting you getting their attention?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I never really looked at it the way others have looked. I've just always looked at myself as just a guy who has a blog and writes about a show. And even before the whole spoiler thing took off, I did have a pretty niche audience. But then the second the whole Jason, Molly, and Melissa season aired, and I was the first one to break the ending of that show, and it was my first spoiler ever.
Yeah.
And other, you know, pop culture sites were running with it and news sites were running with it. It was like one of these things where it was a snowball down the hill effect. I couldn't stop it. And
right.
I was just, but I had reported it so early that everyone was like, well, no, you're wrong. Or no, we know it's Melissa. And I didn't want to say anything because whatever I said wasn't going to matter in certain people's minds. The only thing that was going to vindicate me
was
the finale airing.
Yeah.
Once it aired, I was like, see, I told you so. So, and then ever since then, it's just been every season, I think outside of Jillian's, every other season, I've spoiled the show.
So here's what I don't get. Okay, so for the people listening that aren't familiar, there's kind of been a little bit of an uproar a couple times with the spoiler issue and the show getting mad and taking legal action and saying you better stop it. And so one thing I don't get about that is why it would be your problem because you don't sign a confidentiality agreement.
Yeah, correct. And I think the reason it's – oh, I can tell you. I know the reason it started was last season. The last season of The Bachelor was Ben. Once they were done filming in November of the year before – November of 2010. Yeah, because it aired in January through March of 2012. So once filming ended on Ben's season, I was able to contact, there were three girls from Ben's season that I contacted through email. And in those emails, I specifically said, look, I'm aware of your contract. You know, don't say anything. You know, if you could help me out, I really appreciate it. I already knew the ending to Ben's season. I was looking for stuff in the middle episodes that I hadn't quite figured out yet.
Right.
And so I was basically telling them, just, you know, break your contract. It's just a scare tactic. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, those three girls got scared and I guess were asked by producers, hey, is this guy contacting you? And they turned over my email. So So the reason they filed the lawsuit last year was because they had their smoking gun. They had emails from me to their contestants.
And you're not allowed to do that legally?
Well, I guess not. I didn't know about it. I mean, I didn't know until I saw the lawsuit. And
I guess because to me it seems like that's on them.
Yeah, I mean, there's something called tortious interference where apparently if you know a contract is in place and you intentionally try to get them to break it, it's called tortious interference. Now, the thing is, none of those three girls ever told me anything. I even have the emails to prove it. One of them never even wrote me back. And then two of them said, look, I can't help you. I don't want to get in trouble. But they had their smoking gun. Now we have proof that he has contacted our contestants.
Okay.
And I guess that was good enough for them to file a lawsuit. But the reason that it never went through and the reason why we ended up settling is because those girls never told me anything. I never did anything wrong.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha. So then now they're still mad. Right?
Yeah.
And so you're
still,
having to still deal with it.
Yeah, they're still not happy. I'll be 100% honest with you that this latest lawsuit, I still don't know why they filed it because we had an agreement in place where we settled in May of, and my settlement with them does not say I can't spoil the show anymore under no circumstance. It specifically doesn't say anything about you can't spoil the show.
Right.
It just talks about stay away from our contestants, casting crew, which is what I've done, which is why I don't understand why this was filed. And, you know, not to get into a bunch of legal speak, but we're conferring with their side right now and determining what the best course of action is.
Sure.
going forward.
Well, I think you made the point, but it might have been someone else, that, you know, this could perhaps have been a PR move on their side, because frankly, it does get a lot of attention, and, you know, it's all about the money. So even if suing you brings them bigger ratings, then that could have been part of the incentive. I don't know if that's what you said or somebody else said, but that makes sense to me.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly wouldn't put it past them, because once, you know, I got served with the paper. Last year, during the first lawsuit, came out on December 7th. The morning of December 8th, I had a reporter from the Hollywood Reporter email me saying, "Hey, you've been sued." And that was the first I heard. I woke up that morning to an email.
Whoa.
This time around, I actually got served the papers on December 21st, 4 days before Christmas. But it didn't get reported. That same Hollywood Reporter emailer emailed me on January, I think, 3rd. So he didn't find out about it for 2 weeks or whatever. So okay. I don't know if he was tipped off or, you know. But the other thing, December 21st was 4 days before Christmas, and the following week, most people were off. So maybe he didn't bother to check. But the bottom line was, I've known about this for 3 weeks. I just didn't say anything until, you know, it officially went public, and it did on January 3rd. Mm-hmm. So
okay, well, so why, you know, they're called spoilers. So how come... What about them is appealing to people? I don't understand that. Like, if you're a fan of the show and you're a viewer, why do people want to know ahead of time?
Okay, this is something that I think most people will be kind of surprised with. For every other show on television that I have an interest in, I don't want to know the spoilers. I never wanted to know the spoilers on any of the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to know the spoilers on, you know, Celebrity Apprentice, on Survivor. I don't want to know spoilers on those shows. So and every season, I manage to avoid them. So, and I know they're out there. I just don't go on sites that have them.
Right.
So, but for other people, I think with this show, because this show isn't about, I mean, your show and Survivor is different because it's a competition show where people are, you know, people are out to get money and there's actual a tangible prize at the end. Whereas this show, it's fantasy land. Nobody really thinks these people are going to get married anyway. So I think that they were just like, you know what? We know they're not getting married anyway. So I don't care if I know who's going to win at the end.
Right.
At least if you tell me who's going to win, I can follow their edit and I can follow their journey and I can see things that maybe I wouldn't have looked at. I think people look at the show differently knowing the spoilers.
So you're saying that in a way, the spoilers almost enhance the Bachelor series or the Bachelorette.
I think it does. I certainly watch the show differently now, but, you know, perfect example on Survivor. If I know the final, you know, three or four for Survivor, then you already know, you know, when you're watching in the beginning of the season, you already know basically
everything.
Or even if you know who's going home that episode, it's like, okay, well, I know this person's going home that episode. So I know that they're, you know, when the immunity challenge comes, they win the competition. So it only means this, you know, or their team doesn't win. So I already know who's going to lose the immunity challenge. And it just completely takes away the fun out of the viewing for me when I watch shows like that.
Is there an element also that, because I don't know about every single show, but I know my show is real in the sense that we're not told what to do or what to say and things like that. But everyone has this sense that the Bachelor series is more contrived, and particularly because there seems to be involvement from the producers on who gets picked. Do you think that that lends itself to people not really minding the spoilers also?
I think so. I mean, the biggest always question surrounding The Bachelor is it scripted? And when I hear the word scripted, that makes me think you're given a book to memorize lines and say those lines. That's not what the show does.
No.
However, they will put you in situations where they will tell you, I think you guys should talk about this. I think you should say this. Or before a girl is about to go talk to Sean, tell her, hey, you know, Sean's already kissed two girls tonight. You're going to have to ramp up you're really going to have to flirt with him or else you're probably not getting a rose tonight. Like, that's producer manipulation. They this isn't just done and they wing it. You know,
does that
this
bother
isn't like,
you?
It doesn't necessarily bother me. I just like letting the people who watch this show, who are completely living in fantasy land, I want to let them know that this is not a real show. This is not what's really happening. Here's what's really going on behind the scenes. Here is them telling this girl, hey, that 50 Shades of Grey gimmick is going to work wonders. You know, you should try that. She didn't honestly do that on her own. It was ultimately her decision, but the reason that she made the decision to do that was because she probably was told, you'll get a rose if you do this.
Do you think that it would be a better show if it were more authentic?
I don't think so, because they're 25 seasons in now, and I don't think that people care about authenticity anymore when it comes to the show. I really don't. I mean, because if people were looking for authenticity, then when you only have two marriages out of 25 seasons, people would have given up a long time ago, but they still keep getting, you know, decent numbers on every Monday night for 2 hours, you know, and that's all they care about, is producing a show that people are going to watch. And if you cast 25 girls with all the same personality, nobody's going to be interested. They have to cast crazies. You have to cast characters, and that's what they do. And they're successful at it. They are the gold standard when it comes to dating shows. There's no other dating show, reality TV dating show, that has come close to what The Bachelor has been able to achieve. And so credit to them for being able to do it.
Do you think that it's realistic for them or any show to expect no spoilers at all?
No. And that's the one thing I don't understand about what I do and why they're so upset. Like, in this day and age, it's literally, you know, the only people that can get away with not having spoilers are Idol and Dancing with the Stars, because their shows are live. I mean, granted, the audition shows for Idol are taped in advance, and I'm sure if I did a search of the top 24 right now, I could probably find it, but I don't want to know. So, but those shows are the only ones that can avoid it, because they don't need to edit their show and they don't need turnaround time. But shows like this, and, you know, like your shows and Apprentice and stuff like that, they rely so heavily on editing that they can't turn around a show. You can't tape a show for 3 days and turn it around 2 days later. It just doesn't work.
It's really strange when you're filming, at least on the challenges, because they go to great lengths to now limit all communications to people back home. Like, there's no internet, and there's very limited phone usage and things like that. But it's odd, because then you go home and it's months before the show comes out, and, you know, they're obviously not monitoring your, you know, email and things like that. So I don't know why they even bother.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the point that you bring up about that, I think, plays a huge role into why you see some of the behavior you do on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Now, with your show, it's a little bit different, because you guys all know each other and have been on previous seasons together, and you know basically everyone in the house, unless they do a, you know, fans versus favorites, when the first time they did that.
Yeah.
With The Bachelorette, you are a girl who's taken out of your element. You're now thrown into a house with 24 other girls that you do not know. You have no access to anybody at home.
Oh, wow.
And you're forced to basically drink every night because they want to ramp up the drama. Well, if you last till the end, filming usually takes about 6 or 7 weeks if you last till the end.
And they can't call home at all?
No, I mean, I've heard in recent seasons they're starting to make concessions, but a daily call home? No. I know if you have a kid, you are allowed to talk to your kid now with a producer or a handler sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
There are some people that I have heard have been able to call home during the season just to say hi. But it's not like you can shoot the shit with your with your family. You basically are just, hey, I'm okay, it's been fun. You can't even say, like, I'm here and we're heading here. You can't even say that. You have a producer, like, literally on the phone with you, and it's just a check-in to say hi and just to hear a loved one's voice, I guess.
Right.
But for the most part, you are secluded from the outside world. You don't get, you know, no television, no iPod, no internet, no Twitter, no Facebook, nothing.
We weren't even allowed to bring books anymore.
Yeah, I don't even think you can bring books either here. And because for this show, the reason for that, and it makes sense, is because they want your sole focus to be on this one person. They don't want you having any distractions, which is why these girls think that they're falling in love so quickly with somebody they really don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I've said this numerous times, and I don't know if you've read it or you're aware of it, but if you're the final girl or the final guy chosen, over the course of 6 or 7 weeks of filming, you maybe have 2 one-on-one dates with them. You have an overnight date and you have a hometown date. I mean, you maybe spend a total time with the person that you're engaged to, maybe a total of 2 or 3 days.
That's
because
crazy.
You know, when they're on dates with other persons, you're just with other people, you're just back in the house hanging out with the other people.
Talking about,
you know,
them.
Yeah, when you're on a group date, you'll get like, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes at the cocktail party. I mean, there's just, it's such an unrealistic way meet somebody, and the Ashley and the JPs and the Tristan Ryans of the world, those are just exceptions to the rule. It just happened to work out. It didn't work out because of the show.
Yeah.
It just so happened that once, you know, I've always said,
yeah,
the relationship between the final two people starts once the show ends. All you did was meet the person on the show. Your relationship really starts when the show ends. That's why the engagement at the very last episode, it doesn't mean anything because,
yeah,
these people don't last anyway.
How do you keep track of all the people on these shows now?
I think it's, I mean, I keep very extensive notes.
You really do?
Oh, yeah. No, I could probably tell you, because it's, you know, because it's my job. I mean, this is what I do. And because it's so much of my time is dedicated to it, I have, like, if you asked me who were the final four for the last eight, or at least I could probably name the final two girls and final two guys for every season going back to the beginning.
That's crazy.
But it's just because it's just so much time spent writing, it just doesn't leave your mind.
Do you ever meet these people, Steve?
I have, occasionally. I've met people in the past. You know, whether it's, I've been out in L.A. I mean, a lot of contestants have contacted me once their season is over and,
yeah,
said, like, hey, you know, I enjoy your column, I think it's funny and stuff like that. And then sometimes when I've been in doing watch parties somewhere else, I've met people and stuff like that. There are a few former contestants that live here in Dallas that I've hung out with. So
it
happens occasionally. You know what, if anybody has ever been trust me, I'm not naive enough to think that there are contestants out there that don't like what I say. I know there are. But no one has ever personally emailed me. Maybe they've called me out on Twitter and made a snide comment here and there. But I don't think I've ever had a contestant that personally emailed me. In fact, I know I haven't. That it personally emailed me and ripped me to shreds for something that I said about them or something I said about the season. If they do, they've done it, you know, behind my back, or, you know, took to Twitter or took to Facebook to say it like that. But most of the people that do contact me, contestants, once their show and their season is over, have told me how much they enjoy the column, and they didn't take anything that I said very seriously, and they just, you know, they have a sense of humor about it because they know it's a silly show.
Well, some of the best questions that I got for you came from my friend Bethany, who is almost as encyclopedic as you, I would dare say, about the show, and she wanted me to ask you a few things, so here goes nothing.
Okay.
She said, this looks like it might actually be the most dramatic season ever. Or is that just what they want you to believe again?
I don't think this season is really going to be any different than previous seasons. That's their big tagline on
right.
this show. Is they love to sell it. It's going to have the same elements that every other season does. Catty
right.
women fighting. You have your villain already in Tierra, who is not going to be well-liked in the house.
So no one will die, or...
Yeah, it's not going to be... Yeah, exactly, dramatic. Now, one thing I will say for this season, from what I've heard, there are a lot of ambulances and emergency room trips that girls have to take this season. There are some accidents that... I think more accidents have occurred this season than in previous seasons, but other than that, that would be your most dramatic.
All right, well, that's something anyway.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to know, you know how on, it's not just this show, but on a lot of shows, people start talking about who's there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And she wants to know, is anyone there for love, or is this all just for fame or whatever?
I don't think anybody, especially in 2012, I think when
yeah.
this show first started early, you could say people were like, oh, this is a cool experience, maybe I'll meet somebody. But now, with as much tabloid coverage as this show gets.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the number one reality show that gets covered in the tabloids, and it's not even close. It blows away everybody else.
Wow.
So I think a lot of people go on this show, number one, to say they're on TV. Number
yeah.
two, to read about themselves in magazines. Number three, to any opportunities that can arise out
yeah.
of it. Number four, to become infinitely more popular when they come back home, because
right.
now you know, a guy sees a girl, you know, a guy didn't pay attention to you, and now you're on the show, and now more guys want to pay attention to you, and maybe your ex-boyfriend wants you back now because he knows of the attention that you're getting. And
what,
it has happened.
What
so,
about some of the bachelors or bachelorettes? Are any of them sincere, do you think?
I don't expect you
to be a psychologist here, but...
Yeah, I think that there's got to be some sincerity, like, hey, you know, maybe I will meet somebody, but
okay.
I'm telling you, the allure of a two-month vacation where you get paid to travel is much more the reason these people sign up to do it, because everyone's like, well, why wouldn't I sign up
yeah.
to be the bachelor? You know, it's like, it's a great gig, and only certain people have been asked to do this. It's just, you know, why not do it? And I get paid to do it, and
yeah.
I get to date a bunch of people, I get to be on TV, I get to make the media rounds, and I get to go on all these talk shows. I mean, it's an ego stroke. I mean, who wouldn't want to do it?
Well,
I mean,
so what's the scoop on this? Is his name Sean, this guy?
Yeah.
What's this born-again virginity thing? I don't get it.
Well, I think Sean is not a virgin, but I guess at some point, maybe after college or whatever, Sean had found... Had developed a stronger relationship with God than he maybe had beforehand.
Oh, okay.
And ever since then, I guess he has committed himself that he's not going to have sex until he gets married again. So I guess that's why they call it born again virgin, because you're not a virgin, but
right. But
you're claiming that you're going to wait again until, and from everything that I've heard and stuff that I've read, that's definitely true when it comes to Sean. He does seem to be a sincere
Well, that's nice.
A guy that is going to save himself for marriage.
All right, so no banging on this season.
Yeah, no.
Well, what if they did like the overnights and it was like separate beds, like Ozzy and Harriet style?
They always insinuate that there's sex on the overnights, and trust me, in past seasons there definitely has been.
Right.
But they, you know, they only show you the last bit of them making out on a bed and them closing the door. With Sean's season, I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell you, I mean, obviously he doesn't sleep with any of the three girls, but
yeah.
you know, do they stay up talking and then maybe Sean goes to his bed and she stays on the couch and she actually stayed overnight? Yeah, that probably happened.
That's
but
cute.
In terms of staying in the same bed and having sex, no, didn't happen.
My favorite question that Bethany asked was, how hard do you think it was for the contestants on Ben's season to pretend like they liked him?
I think, you know, I mean, Ben was, it was so funny because every season is kind of a mixed bag. You know, you have your people that love who the bachelor is and the bachelorette is, and you have your people who don't like him. It's like, nobody in this world is universally liked by everybody. It's impossible. But Ben, coming off Ashley's season and getting dumped at the altar and being upset, he had his built-in storyline where plenty of people wanted to see him find somebody. And the problem was he chose the girl that everyone in America hated based on her edit. So that's didn't bode well for him.
So what's your plan after the show ends, if it ever does?
Yeah. I've got a couple things in the works that I'm talking about, but
okay.
I haven't, nothing concrete.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep riding this wave as long as I can.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And just kind of go that route and see where it takes me. I mean, I think
yeah.
I think a lot of people, you know, in your question earlier, I think a lot of people that do go on this show, you know, do it with like, hey, it'll be a great experience, and who knows what'll happen afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, people get modeling gigs, or you're offered a better, you know, you have opportunities definitely arise if you're on this show. And let me phrase that. If you're on the show and you make some sort of impact, if you go
yeah.
home the first night, you're probably not getting the opportunity, but you know,
right.
But yeah, I mean, people, I mean, it's happened, you know, Jake Pavelka got on Dancing with the Stars. Melissa Rycroft just had a successful career post show. you know, so it can happen. But I think the problem with a lot of these contestants is that they're very delusional into thinking that it is, you know, I'm going to give up my job now because I know this is going to lead to something.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's crazy.
Your fame is kind of fleeting, you know, once this show ends, because once the show ends, you know, they run two seasons a year. So once this season ends of Sean's Girls and then The Bachelorette starts airing in May, you know, the people that were talking about The Bachelor, you're yesterday's news. Nobody cares anymore. You know, at least with you, you know, it's funny because a lot of people have talked about you challengers have made a career out of this, but your show is different because you can leave a job or do whatever because you can make money on that show. You can't make money on The Bachelor.
Yeah, that's right.
You can only
right.
make it both show. At least if you go back on a challenge 5 years in a row or whatever,
yeah.
5 years in a row or whatever the case may be, you can make a living
right.
off that. And you guys still do appearances and stuff like that and get paid. So
yeah.
it's different. These people, I think, are a little bit more delusional into thinking, oh, if I was on The Bachelor, I'm going to be able to do this and this and this. And the bottom line is,
it's so fleeting.
There's a very small window. If you don't capitalize right away, nobody cares about you anymore.
So as a viewer, what are some of your favorite shows in general? It didn't have to be just reality, but just what do you enjoy watching?
Oh, God, I have stuff set on my DVR.
What do you DVR? Honey Boo Boo?
Well, reality, I basically stick to the network. I mean, yeah, reality, I basically stick to the network ones. I watch Idol, X Factor, Dancing with the Stars, Celebrity Apprentice,
okay.
Survivor.
Okay.
In terms of regular TV, most of the stuff I like is non-reality. So,
wow, that's funny.
Just going through the night, I've seen every episode of 90210, like the new one.
Come on.
And it's not even any good. I still watch it, though. But Modern Family, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah,
Parks and Rec. I've actually started watching Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 just because I was always a big Dawson's Creek fan, and anything that has James Vanderbeek in it I think is funny, and I think it's a funny show that he makes fun of himself. But yeah, Modern Family, Office, Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I do watch Private Practice. That's always been a guilty pleasure of mine. let's see. Shark Tank is a new one. That's
I like
more
that
reality
one.
Though.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Saturday Night Live fan. I think I've seen every episode of Saturday Night Live since 1993, since I was in high school.
That's fun.
So yeah, it's, there's a lot of shows.
You're a TV junkie a little bit.
Yeah, I like my shows.
I like that about you. I think that you have, in a way, you're kind of going to do what you say some of the contestants do, where, you know, when the show ends, something else will probably come up, except the only difference is it sounds like you'll be successful. I mean, yes, people love The Bachelor, but it sounds like people also really just love you and your take on things. So I think you're going to be around for a while. We're stuck with you, Steve.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I hope so. I mean, I hope to continue Reality Steve, and once the show is over, in some form or fashion,
yeah.
where maybe it's not just spoilers, but more my take on all shows. And I think, you know, one question you asked me earlier that I don't even think I ever answered. I think I got sidetracked. But you asked me, why do you think people read me and like me and my column? I think it's because I've been doing it for a long time, but I don't pull any punches. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell it
mm-hmm.
like I see it. And I think a lot of people don't sometimes want to hear the truth. And, I think I have a pretty wealthy knowledge of television and pop culture in general.
Yeah.
And incorporating that into my column, along with funny anecdotes and some self-deprecating humor, I think people enjoy that. Yeah. I mean, I know there are plenty of people out there, like I said, because not everyone is universally liked. There are plenty of people out there that don't like me, but I don't take myself very seriously at all. And all I'm doing is making fun of a silly reality show. Some people take what I say way too seriously,
yeah.
and they take every word that I write like the gospel. And outside of the spoilers are gospel because that's what's going to happen. But in terms of my opinions and my takes on things, some people just get way too carried away and don't They just don't get it. I mean, if you've been reading me for 9 years, you would know by now what a sarcastic ass I can be. And it's just, you know, it's just having fun. And I enjoy having fun and just kind of making people laugh.
Yeah,
and
you some found your niche.
Yeah, and it's just something that I've always liked doing. I've always been sarcastic. In fifth grade, I won the award for most sarcastic in class.
It was a sign of things to come.
Yeah, I mean, in fifth grade, I never thought I'd be doing this would be my job at 37 years old. But I mean, hey, it's fun. You can't take this show seriously. That's my whole point. It's just like, this is not reality. This is not how you date in the real world. This is not how you meet people. And that's why I'm going to sit here and make fun of it. And then, and along with making fun of it, I'm going to point out stuff that I've been made aware of in terms of the filming, the production, the manipulation behind the scenes. So I think it adds to people's viewing experience to watch the show, then read what I have to write and be like, oh, I saw that on TV last night, but oh, Steve told us this is what really went down. So I think people enjoy that.
I think that you're beating them at their own game. I love it.
I mean, in a way, the best way to put it is, in a way, I'm kicking their ass and they don't like it and they don't really know how to stop it. So they think by stopping it, they can file a bunch of lawsuits against me, but it'll come out that I did not do anything to break my agreement to get the spoilers for Sean's season. So, well, you know, but we'll see.
Every episode I have one question I ask every guest, and that is, what is in the trunk of your car?
Oh, gosh, I have nothing.
What?
There's nothing in my trunk.
Your trunk is empty?
Empty,
this is horrible because this is like what I think is symbolic about you. It tells us about you. Are you empty inside?
Yeah, I guess I'm just empty and vapid, and I have no substance to me because I've got nothing in my trunk.
What about like jumper cables or something?
No, I mean, I mean outside of a spare tire that's underneath it, I've got nothing in my trunk.
You are the first one that has nothing in their trunk.
Yeah, I've got nothing. I've got nothing in the trunk of my car.
I can't even deal with this.
I know. Hey, that's funny. It's the first time anyone's even ever asked me, what do you have in the trunk of your car? I've never even asked that before.
This is why it's become a fixture, because Sarah from The Real World Brooklyn started talking about it, and we discovered that what is in the trunk of your car speaks to where you are as a person in your life. And for everybody, it's been true, except apparently not you. But maybe it means that you're organized, because a lot of people have junk in their trunk, so to speak.
Yeah, I honestly, if I had stuff in my trunk, I would tell you. I've got nothing.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's my last question.
All right. No problem.
So we're ending on emptiness. But I do want, people to follow you on Twitter? What's your handle?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is just @RealitySteve. And, the site is realitysteve.com, and my Instagram account is realitysteve, and
you're so consistent. I love it.
Yeah, that's basically it. But you can just say, for people that are maybe hearing this for the first time, every Tuesday on the site is my recap of the episode. Every Wednesday is reader emails that I get throughout the course of the week, where I answer reader emails, and then every Thursday is my love, sex, relationship column that I've that's kind of taken off in the last year of Dr. Reality Steve. And then I do a live video blog on Thursday nights, and I'm going to start back up again on this week. So that I did all last season, and I basically do every Thursday night in season that goes on at that's live, and it's 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific. And take your questions, and I just talk into the camera and field your questions, and kind of like this, but in video form.
I love it. You're certainly keeping busy. So thank you so much, Steve Carbone, realitysteve.com. And thank you everyone for listening. Tune in next time for more interviews on The Meisterpiece at suzymeister.com.